Our scripture reading this evening is found in the book of Acts. We read Acts chapter 1, the first 14 verses. Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do, both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. When they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. Text that we consider this evening is Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Familiar passage of Scripture. I read those verses again. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus departed from his disciples and, in a sense, may have seemed far from them when he went up into heaven. And sometimes we ourselves might imagine that God is far from us. In our ignorance, we can't see how God is working in all of our circumstances, when he takes away a loved one, or when he takes away our health, or when he decrees trouble in our families or in the workplace. We can't see what God is up to. He sends rain when we would like there to be sunshine. He sends sunshine when we would like it to rain. He causes our bodies to experience pain and disease. He brings troubles and trials in our lives. And then we may question, or we might question, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me? How long wilt thou hide thy face? We don't see how God is working. We don't think of our ascended Savior now in heaven, ruling over all things. And then we would like to know why God does certain things. And then he tells us the same thing he tells the disciples in the context of our text. In verse 7, after the disciples asked Jesus, "Wilt thou now restore, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" And he said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." If it were good for the disciples to know the times and seasons when God was going to accomplish all the things he was going to accomplish, he would have told his disciples. But he said, "It is not for you to know." You don't have to know the details. Indeed, it might be harmful for you to know the details. But do know this. And that's the context as well. The times and seasons are in God's hands. And in case the disciples imagined now that they would be left alone, their Savior had ascended up into heaven, Jesus reassures them that God would send forth the Spirit. And that's verse 8 of Acts 1. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." That's the calling of the church. Now we can apply that same truth that God sends the Spirit for the sake of his people in order that we might carry out our callings in this world. The Holy Spirit will empower you. That's the idea of the inspired writer when he says, "But ye shall receive power by his strength. You will be witnesses unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And that helps us understand, beloved, Jesus' ascension and its application to ourselves. Far from walking out on his disciples, leaving them to themselves as orphans, in fact, Jesus ascended in order to bless his disciples. And that too is a significance for us. Jesus ascended into heaven in order to bless us. So let's take that text under the theme, Jesus taken up into heaven. Let's note the first place, the taking up into heaven, his ascension per se. Secondly, his coming again in like manner. That's the implication of his ascension. And then establishing his kingdom and working for our comfort. Jesus taken up into heaven. Jesus, beloved, had promised the disciples that they would be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And after he told them that they would be his witnesses to the uttermost parts of the earth, then Jesus ascended. And Luke tells us, Luke 24 tells us that as Jesus ascended into heaven, they were looking on, and as he went up, he blessed them. As if to say, while he was being separated from them, the very last thing Jesus did and what he would be doing in heaven was to bless them. The text says Jesus was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. His body, children, was lifted up into the air from the earth, and literally a cloud took him away from their eyes. A special cloud somehow enveloped Jesus and caused him to disappear out of their sight. What exactly that looked like, we don't know. If God wanted us to know, he would have given us more detail about that. What is important about that is that Jesus, in his resurrected body, was taken up from the place that we call earth, and he was transferred into the place called heaven. That in the first place, we must know he is in his body, he is no longer here. He is in heaven. And in the second place, we must know that the disciples saw him ascend into heaven. More than one of the disciples saw it with their own eyes. They didn't just hear a report. They were convinced, each and every one of them, that Jesus truly had ascended into heaven. 1 Corinthians 15 tells us that there was a time when more than 500 brethren saw the resurrected Jesus at one time. Probably the most likely occasion would have been his ascension. It's possible as well that there were fewer than 500 on this occasion. Maybe the 120 that gathered in the upper room, they might have been there. They were gathered there in the upper room 10 days later. But either way, whether it was 500 or whether it was 120, God made it obvious to his disciples, open and obvious, that Jesus Christ, in his resurrected body, went into heaven. We ought to consider, beloved, the condescension of God to our weakness. Because Jesus did not have to go into heaven in such an open way. He could have gone away secretly. But of course, then we, in our sinful weakness and our doubt, we would wonder, did it actually happen? Did Jesus really, in his body, go into heaven? But there was no question. On that day, some 2,000 years ago, there was absolutely no question whatsoever that Jesus had gone to his Father exactly as he said he would. His Father and the Father of his people for whom he died. Jesus brought multiple witnesses together before he ascended, so that they could be instructed and then actually see him go into heaven. And that would have been a help. That would have been a help to the disciples in that day. Because think of it. Well, we thought about the other possibility if he simply disappeared. But think of the possibility if only one disciple had seen Jesus go up into heaven. He might very well have questioned himself, did I really see what I thought I saw? And then, with all these other disciples having seen the very same thing, the answer was ready. They would speak to one another, yes, you saw what you thought you saw. We all saw it. He went up to the Father. We saw him rise up into the air. We saw the cloud take him out of our sight. The disciples could all encourage each other with that truth. There are, of course, heretics who deny that Jesus ascended up into heaven and think that this was some sort of mass delusion, that they all imagined that they saw the resurrected Lord, and then they must have imagined that they saw Jesus rise up into the air and go up into heaven. It was all just a mass hallucination. They all the disciples at the very same time saw the very same thing. Plainly, as they heard Jesus speaking to them one moment, they simply imagined that, and now Jesus went up into the air. That would be beyond belief, beloved, to even consider that possibility. Those witnesses, of course, are not alive today. But now we have God's inspired word. God gives us the inspired record. Multiple occasions where the disciples saw Jesus' resurrected body and all these disciples together confessing that they saw Jesus ascend up into heaven with their own eyes and willing even to die for that truth. Is there any disciple who would die for a hoax? Jesus ascended into heaven. And even though the disciples saw with their own eyes what had happened, they stood there looking steadfastly, gazing into the sky, wondering what had happened to their beloved master. It seems they still wanted to catch a glimpse of their Savior. They wanted him perhaps yet to be with them physically. But then to help them with their weakness, and here's one of the important occasions in the ministry of Jesus Christ where angels again were present, God sent two angels to address the disciples. Verse 11, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." On previous occasions, Jesus had told them, he told them that he was going away, that he was going to the Father. And when he told them in the past, they were sad. But what would we rather have? If we had the choice to have Jesus remain on this earth, and to live forever on this earth as the King, he might be able to squeeze a very short meeting with each one of us, assuming we could make the trip to go see him. Would we like to file past him and simply catch a glimpse of his eye? Surely he would not have enough time to meet with every one of his saints that wanted to see him. Is that what we would want? Or would we rather have a Christ who was always with us by His Holy Spirit? And of course, to ask the question is to answer it. We would want Jesus always to be with us, always to be able to call upon Him. In fact, Jesus pointed them more than one occasion to the good that would come to them when he went away. John 16, verse 6. But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Jesus is saying it will be profitable. It is expedient. It is profitable for the church. It is profitable for each of my people that I go away, because then I will send the Comforter. Jesus expressed much the same thing in the context in Acts chapter 1 when he says, verse 5, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Now the disciples stood there gazing up into the sky in wonderment. But the fact that Jesus was taken away by a cloud did not make them sad. Luke 24, verse 52 tells us that they worshipped him while he ascended. They worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Though he was gone, they worshipped and returned with great joy because the angels had told them and reassured them what had actually happened. And when we think, beloved, of Jesus' ascension into heaven, that ought to be our response too. Great joy. And yet, how often do we forget? We forget about Jesus being in heaven. We forget that the same Lord who loved us, the same Jesus Christ who loved us so much that He died for us, that He is now in heaven. We forget that the same Lord who was cursed now is in heaven in order to bless. The same Lord who rose again. The same Lord who paid for all of our sins. Now is in heaven in the presence of the Father. And even though Jesus was absent from the disciples as far as his human nature was concerned, they rejoiced. Because he had promised to be with them. And we forget that. We forget that Jesus Christ is always with us by his Spirit and by his grace and by his power, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, and that none can snatch us from his hand. The exalted Lord, who now sits in heaven, reigns over all things. We forget that. Doctors don't reign over our sickness and disease. The ascended Lord reigns. We don't rule over our future as if we could determine the future by taking all the steps to plan our future. We don't rule over our future. The ascended Savior rules over our future. We don't rule over the storms of life. Jesus does. We don't know how many years or months or hours God would have us remain in this life. We don't know when our souls will be taken to glory, but Jesus does. The ascended Lord rules over persecution in this world. The wicked come after the righteous in their hatred. the risen Lord, the ascended Lord, rules over them. He rules in our circumstances over the devil and the world and our own sinful flesh, so that none of his people can fall away. Beloved, we need to remember that in every circumstance that we face in this life, Jesus Christ is now in heaven, ruling over that circumstance. Believe that. Not only does he rule over all things, he is praying for us. He prays for our salvation. He prays that our salvation will be brought to its complete fruition at its appointed time. He prays for our salvation even as we go through this life. Prays that his precious blood would cover poor sinners, and that he would give us access to the Father through him. And God grants his request. Prays that all our guilt would be removed from us as far as east is from the west. And the Father grants his request. Our ascended Lord, in his human body, his glorified human body, he knows what it's like. He was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he prays that God would give us grace in this life. And God grants his request. From heaven, our ascended Lord sends forth his Holy Spirit as an earnest of our inheritance. We have not merely the promise that one day we will receive the inheritance, but in fact, he already gives us the first portion of that inheritance in the Spirit, so that we begin to experience fellowship with God in this life. What a glorious truth, beloved, that the ascended Lord is now in heaven, and that he continues there for our good. But then add also the words of the angels that he is coming again. Have you ever wondered, in doubt, is he really coming again? Believers have those doubts at times. Is he really going to descend from heaven in the clouds? How are we going to see him? How are those people on the other side of the world going to see him if he comes on this side of the world? How is it going to happen? Is he going to come visibly with his body? Well, God's word through the angels settles the question, beloved. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He will come in like manner. That's the way in which he will come. Just as the disciples saw him go up, he will come down in the same way. That's what the angels are telling the disciples, and that's what God is telling us tonight. He will come visibly and in the clouds. Luke 21 speaks the same truth, verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That's what the angels told the disciples. He will come again as he went up. If you do a Google search, you'll find dozens of blasphemers today listed. Some who are still alive today, others of the past, who claim to be Jesus Christ returned. Some names might be familiar, some not. But aside from the false doctrine that they proclaim, we know they cannot be the Christ because they didn't come in the clouds. We have not seen them come, any one of them come as Jesus said He would come, or as the angels said He would come. That all by itself shows that they cannot be Jesus Christ returned. We know that He is going to return visibly and in the clouds. Well, that's important from another respect. There are others who claim that Jesus already came in A.D. 70. When Jerusalem was destroyed, they say, Jesus came back then. And then they say, coming in the clouds. Well, that's figurative language that points to the judgment of God. In that judgment that happened to Jerusalem, they say, that's when Jesus returned. And what's left then for the church is to get busy and to build the kingdom of Christ here in this world. Something we hear more and more of in the church world today. Seeking an earthly and physical kingdom. Well, that's the danger of that position, beloved. If Jesus Christ already returned, what are we looking forward to? And that's their argument too. If we believe that, then we will begin to focus on an earthly kingdom to the neglect of the spiritual kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now it's true there are scriptures that point to clouds and darkness related to God's judgment, but that doesn't change what the angel said to the disciples when Jesus ascended into heaven. They said, God's word through them is that He will come in like manner as ye have seen Him go. That's the way He will come back. The devil will try to convince us otherwise. The world will as well. They will sow doubts in our hearts. Scoffers will come along and say, where is the promise of His coming? It's been 2,000 years. And you're still holding on to that promise? He promised to come back and He still hasn't. When we start to wonder, beloved, whether He is coming back, whether it's a fairy tale after all, then we remember the words of the angels some 2,000 years ago that left no doubt in the disciples' minds and should leave no doubt in our minds. He is coming in the same manner as He went up. Visibly and in the clouds. When He comes, first He will judge the living and the dead. The wicked on that day will stand before the judge naked. That is, spiritually naked in their sins. What a dreadful day that will be. To them it will be a day of darkness and despair. On that day, the wicked will call for the mountains to fall on them to hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. But not for God's people, beloved. That day is not a dreadful day for God's people. It ought not to frighten us in any way. Because on that day, we will stand before the judgment seat, not in our own righteousness, not in our own works, not in our own worthiness. We will stand on that day clothed in His righteous robes, those white robes that are provided to us by God, according to which He views us as perfectly righteous. On that day, we will be shown to be washed in His precious blood. When the angels told the disciples about His coming again, it's significant that they called the disciples, "Ye men of Galilee." Ye men of Galilee, not to demean them. Galilee, of course, was that portion of Israel that was despised, especially by those Jews who lived in the southern portion, and especially by those dwellers in Jerusalem. But the angel did not call them men of Galilee to demean them, but rather to remind them of the rock out of which they were hewn. These lowly men of Galilee, these men who started out as illiterate men, looked upon by the Jews with disdain, Jesus had lifted them up to make them His ambassadors. And one day, Jesus Christ would come again and receive these very men to Himself, to glory. And beloved, that same promise applies to ourselves. No matter how dark our background, no matter where we have come from, God has been pleased to cover us with the blood of Jesus Christ. He calls us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He makes us now ambassadors for Him in the midst of this wicked and perverse world. And He promises to us as well that He is coming again to receive us to Himself. What a glorious day that will be, beloved. If the disciples on the Ascension Day went back rejoicing when Jesus went into heaven, how much more will the church rejoice when Jesus returns again? The psalmist says, "As men that dreamed were we." It will be so amazing, we can hardly imagine it. What a glorious day when Jesus comes again to establish His kingdom in its fullness. Then we will be brought into our Father's house, the house of many mansions that Jesus has prepared for His people. Just before His ascension, the disciples asked Jesus whether He would restore the kingdom at that time. And evidently, still they had ideas of an earthly kingdom. Little did they appreciate that Jesus had something far better in view. He wasn't going up into heaven in order to establish a kingdom like Israel in the days of David. But Christ's kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness and peace in God. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, "Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come." That kingdom, beloved, is coming. The risen and exalted Lord Jesus continues to gather His elect from all the corners of the earth. And He uses the faithful witness of the church. As the word is spread, the disciples started out in their own backyard, first in Jerusalem. Then He gave them opportunity later in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus is coming in His kingdom. And He uses the witness of the church, but He uses the witness, the faithful witness of His people as well, to gather His elect into the kingdom. He is coming again. When, we do not know. The disciples asked Jesus that, and He told them, and the message also is for us. It is not for us to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath in His own power. God has absolute power, that is the word in the original. He has absolute authority to accomplish His purposes. And all the details, the times and the seasons, those are in His hands. He will determine when the kingdom is established. He will determine when each and every one of us breathes our last breath on this earth and takes our souls into glory. He will determine all of those things. It is not for us to know how God will exercise His sovereignty, how our risen, ascended Lord will work out all the details of our salvation. But what is for us? Well, the same thing that Jesus says to the church as a whole applies in a way to us too. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Ye shall receive power. Now that's not the power of authority mentioned in the previous verse. This is a different word. This is the power of strength. The Holy Spirit will empower you. He will give you strength to carry out the calling that God gives to the church. The calling for the church to be a faithful witness. And for each of the members of the church to be faithful witnesses in all the earth. Beloved, that applies to our individual callings too. In our individual circumstances, God sovereignly rules over all the times and the seasons, over all the circumstances of our lives. How long those circumstances last, what His goal is in bringing those things to us. But then remember that our ascended Lord is in heaven. And He rules over those things for our sakes. And He gives us the grace to carry out the duties of our station and calling. If earthly fathers give to their children the food that they ask for, Jesus says during His ministry, how much more will my heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? God will give the grace of His Spirit to those who ask. And why do they ask? For that grace? Because He's already given them grace to know their need. Jesus Christ was taken up into heaven in order to bless us, beloved. Remember that. Believe that. Look to him for strength and for grace in every circumstance that he brings to us in this life. And then look for him to come again at his appointed time. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank thee for this truth, the truth of our Savior ascended into heaven in order to bless us. Grant us, O Lord, that we may ever rejoice and be comforted in that truth. And give us also the grace that we may be faithful witnesses in this world, in every part of our lives, so that thy name would be glorified, so that thy kingdom also would come as thine elect are drawn into that kingdom by thy sovereign grace. Bless us now, we pray. Forgive our sins. Keep us far away from sin, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.